Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. First of all, I'd like to give thanks to all the listeners throughout the world who have made A Sound Heart Radio an important part of their lives, of their spiritual lives. And we are thankful indeed for the many, many listeners. And we are indeed grateful and thankful that God has allowed us to be a part of your spiritual growth in Christ. Everything must be Christ-centered. I know you agree. And so, once again, I'd like to say thank you. This morning's show is entitled Faith That Cannot Be Tested, Cannot Be Trusted. I'm going to be reading from Genesis chapter 22, beginning at verse 1, quote, "Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, 'Abraham.' 'Here I am,' he replied. Then God said, 'Take your son, your only son, Isaac,'" notice the emphasis, "'whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about.' Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, 'Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you.'" I want you to pay careful attention to this narrative because we are studying about the faith of a mature believer. Abraham is a spiritually mature believer. And please hear this. The way God tests mature or spiritually mature believers is different from the way he tests new believers, or believers who are in a sophomore stage of development. Abraham is a spiritually mature believer. And so when one reads this narrative, please understand the depth and the profundity of this passage. Now notice the first sentence. We read, "Sometime later, God tested Abraham." So, notice the language in this verse. First of all, who is the grammatical subject of this verse? Well, the grammatical subject of this verse is God. God is the subject. And who is the direct object of the verb tested? Abraham, the direct object of the verb tested. Now, the verb tested in the Hebrew is intensive, or it means intentional action. And this is also emphatic within the text too. So in Hebrew, this passage is also called the Akedah. Akedah. A-K-E-D-A-H. And it means the binding of Isaac. Notice what Elohim does to this mature, to this mature believer, Abraham. Notice how he is tested by God. This is an exclusive test. There is no universal application for this test. Notice the sentence. It is not to be spiritualized to mean anything else other than what the text states. God tested Abraham. And I need you to understand this because later in the book of James in the New Testament, we read that Abraham was called the friend of God. Only one individual in Scripture is called the friend of God. That is Abraham. Now notice, so why did Elohim tear us under the normative reality of Abraham? And why was the test of Abraham his love of Isaac and obedience to Elohim? What is the biblical connection between love and obedience? Please understand that the theme of the book of Deuteronomy is love and obedience. We are to love the Lord our God. And remember in the New Testament what Jesus said, he who does not love father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. I want you to understand the absolute and exclusive relationship to which we are called by God. We are to love God in the uttermost. Now, having said that, let me state for some hearers that God does not mean that we're not to love our husbands or our wives or our children. That is not the emphasis. God tells husbands to love their wives. Amen? We are to love and take care of our children. Our families are a gift from God. Our husbands and wives are gifts from God. Please understand. Now, notice this. Notice what is going on here. In verse 2, God says, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Notice the heart of Abraham. God called, and Abraham replied, here I am. In verse 3, we see the obedience of Abraham. Abraham got up, and early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey, and he went off to do the will of God. Now, notice what Abraham states. Verse 5, he says to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. This is the faith narrative. This is the faith paragraph of Abraham. He believed God. And the word in Hebrew for believed is the Hebrew word aman, A-M-A-N, from which we get our word amen. Aman in Hebrew refers to a tent stake. It means to be firm. And so this is a very important word. Abraham was firm in God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He believed in God. He believed the word of God. Now, this is a real test of Abraham's faith. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance or hypostasis or foundation of things that are what? Not seen. Faith is the foundation. And so it is important that, we understand what God wants to show or wants us to understand about faith and how faith is related to our spiritual lives. Faith is the hypostasis, the foundation. And then he goes on and states, and the evidence, the word is a legal term, the evidence of things not seen, the evidence of things not seen, the evidence of things not seen. So God tested Abraham, and Abraham said, we will come back to you. Isaac was to be a living sacrifice, and according to Romans 12, so are we. It is interesting that in the book of Hebrews, the writer states in chapter 11 that Abraham received Isaac back. Now, the language would indicate as though Isaac had been sacrificed. Abraham received him back in a spiritual sense. The relationship between Abraham and Isaac had now been changed by Yahweh Elohim. God saw, God knew the heart of Abraham. God tested the faith of Abraham. Faith that cannot be tested, cannot be trusted. And remember what the book of James says about intellectual faith, about a demonic type of faith that affirms, and yet there's no evidence. Faith always has evidence. Faith always has fruit. In the New Testament, the word faith is pistis. And pistis is a noun, P-I-S-T-I-S. Pistis is a noun of action. It is a noun of action. The word love in the New Testament, as used in John 3:16, agape, is also a noun of action. These words are not passive. Faith is not a passive word, neither is the word love. I want to get us out of that Western passivity, that has caused the church to fall asleep, so that we do not understand that faith is dynamic and powerful and centered in Christ and who he is. There are very saints, there are very, very few passive verbs given in the New Testament. The Western church has fallen asleep because they have been lulled asleep by shepherds who want to bathe the people of God in useless passivity. And so believers never discover spiritual gifts. They never discover the reality of faith and the power of faith. Please understand that right now you are writing your faith paragraph before God. Please refer to Hebrews chapter 11 and read the different faith paragraphs of those saints and what those paragraphs mean. God wants you to walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. God will test those who belong to him. God will test our faith so that we can know the reality of our faith condition. So, beloved, please read these passages when you get a time. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and God bless you.